And I finished preaching, and I was trying to teach people about covetousness, that is not being covetous, and not striving for material things as their primary goal in life. And I said, even before you start praying about car self, now listen, before you start praying about motor car, I said, have you ever even bought somebody a spare tire as a gift? Do you understand? So I said, that before you start looking for a car to buy, buy somebody a tire self as a gift. Do you know, I finished preaching. One brother came up to me and said, please, I want to ask you a question. So what you are saying right now is that if I need a car, I should give out a spare tire. I couldn't believe it. That, wait. This thing that I said with loudspeaker everywhere, this was what you heard? I went to preach somewhere else. That day I spoke, and I was explaining the principle that life has principles, like I was talking about precepts earlier, and that there are keys that control things, the principles of God. I finished teaching, it was a Sunday service for about an hour. At the end of the day, one of the men who was supposed to kind of help me with some things, and I said, please, sir, those principles you talked about, can you quickly give me two of them that controls prosperity? So I looked at him, I said, no problem. I said, one of them is called patience. The other one is called diligence. And his face fell. I said, one is called patience. The other one is diligence. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Such a young man, if I said to him, you want to know the keys of prosperity, what do you have in your pocket? Put it down here. And I closed my eyes and start talking nonsense. You know, he will believe everything. Why? Covetousness has not departed from him. Are you getting the point? Listen, the defense against false doctrines is to cleanse your heart of all unclean things. Let me put it like that. If, you know, the Bible says clearly, set your eyes on the things that are above. For there, our lives are there hidden with Christ in God. Are you getting my point? Now, if you disobey that and you put your eyes on the things on the earth, they say at the age of 40, if you have not built a house, you're a failure. If you believe that, every Tom, Dick, and Harry of a teacher will deceive you. They will deceive you. They will. Because you have refused to accept something that the Lord Jesus said expressly. He said, beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. It's a clear word. If you don't accept that, you will be open to deception every day. Especially the type that is common these days in Nigeria. Let me give another example, you know, just to illustrate. You know, you have a phone, you get a text message, forward this number, you know, so they say, and then, you know, if you send a text, 100 naira, you win 1 million or 10 million. I have found out that prosperity does not come by lottery or kalo. So, whether they are telling the truth or not, I don't care. I delete every single one of the text messages. Are you getting my point? Some will come and say, for this to 10 people, you will be blessed by one spiritual machinations. I said, I didn't know when God started using text messages to connect with spiritual blessings. So I delete each one of them one by one. Now, what if they are telling the truth? It doesn't matter. It does not fit the precepts of God that I understand. It does not. The other day, you know, I got a message. My mother was on that called me and said, Pastor, here at the boy, he said we shouldn't wear red. I don't know how many of you got the text message. I told my mother simply, one, I will wear any color I like. And she said she knows that that's the way I do. But please let her talk to her daughter-in-law that so that the children at least will not wear red. I told my mother, I said, listen, the children are dressed. They are already on their way to holiday school, this summer school. And by the way, even if they are not dressed, you are not going to put fear into my heart. I refuse to comply with strange instructions. By 12 o'clock, I read the news. Pastor Yedibu said, no, I'm not talk so. No be meal. It was in Punch newspaper online. that, no, I did not say so. I said, well, for me, it didn't matter whether you said so or not. There are things I just will not listen to. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. For that reason, it was not possible for me to be deceived. The simple reason is that there are certain principles of God that I had packed inside my heart. And I don't know how else to say it. Some strange instructions just don't fit. Listen, number one reason people are deceived is because there are some basic things about the word of God they have deliberately disobeyed. And that opens them up for further deception. I give an example. If God says simply that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses, that is, if a man does not have 5 cars like his mates, it does not mean it's a failure. That you cannot judge, you know. If God said to the church in Laodicea that you said you are rich, he said, but you don't understand that you are poor. In fact, you say you are rich, we don't lack anything. He said, but I'm telling you are poor, you are wretched, you are naked, you are blind. Go on to Revelation chapter 3. You see what I'm saying there? Now, if I don't accept that, every Tom, Dick, and Harry of a pastor or a teacher will deceive me. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How will I behold, let me put other words to it now, another woman? All right? Now, if I don't make a covenant with my eyes, I will soon begin to justify divorce. Now, I didn't start with divorce, so I don't know whether I get my point. That is why you find out a lot of Americans, very, very common, the pastor will divorce his wife on Monday. By Saturday, they are planning a wedding. When did he plan that wedding? It was last year. It's obvious now. Who plans a wedding in 3 days? But the doctrines that start coming out explaining the Greek word around marriage and divorce, which actually under the New Testament does not really mean divorce, it just means rearrangement, you now start talking things that a child will know is stupid. But because of the three things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, you start believing wrong doctrines. Listen, actually, those are the three basic things. John said these three things are in the world, though. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things, when women, children of God, don't reject them out of their hearts, listen, it opens them up for deception. And once they are open for deception, they start believing things that are wrong. And once they start believing things that are wrong, their lives become wrong. If you see, all the while, I didn't plan to read the whole of 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3 because Peter was kind of angry. And you see him pronouncing judgment upon false teachers. Let me put it like this. Let their judgments be upon them. My teaching for today is how to protect the people of God from false teachers. And I'm saying what is most important is the kind of heart that you and I have. That you cannot just say, I will not be deceived though. Some men who are saying, I can't be deceived, are already deceived that they are saying it. They are sitting in deception. Because you know what deception means? This is the bad thing about deception. Deception means that you think what you know is true. When you are telling a lie, you know, like now, assume you kept money in your pocket. I took it when you hung your trousers somewhere. I took the money. And you say, I'm looking for my, who took it? I say, I don't know. I know I took it. So my saying I don't know is a lie. Deception is when, how do I say deception? I am so sure that I am not the one that took it. Because maybe I have short-term memory loss. Yet I'm the one that took it. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It's only when you show me a video camera that recorded my taking it, I'll say, wait, is that me? No, it can't be me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I have no memory of it. That way you say you have been deceived. What am I saying? No man, no woman that is deceived knows he or she is deceived. Because once you know you are deceived, you are free already. The person who is deceived does not know he or she is deceived. Many people who are following some doctrines You understand? With all their lives. Okay, let me give you an example. You've heard of suicide bomber. Do you know the fellow actually believes what he's doing? A suicide bomber. A suicide bomber. Before you go and blow yourself up like that, you must believe the story they have told you about your reward that's waiting for you there. It's called deception. It's called deception. But listen to me. In fact, just use this as an example. He said, what will make a young man like that be deceived so much that he will kill himself in serving that which is not true? You know, my friend, I have a friend, just to answer that, I have a friend, he lives in the U.S. He came down home last weekend, so he was in my house for a few days. He's a physician. He was telling me about one Syrian doctor. This doctor is from Syria that works with them. And he said that this doctor, when you hear him talk, he's from Syria, you hear the venom, the anger that is inside his soul towards the Western world and towards Christianity. You hear the anger. He now said that this man is raising children. Imagine what he's feeding those children. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, hatred. No, Jesus said, Peter also said it, that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. He doesn't have to kill anybody. Once you grow up with hatred, you will kill somebody one day. I don't know whether you get my point. That this, listen, this is how spiritual things work. Jesus said that if you cast out demons from a man and he goes out, he said he'll keep on looking for where to rest and he doesn't find. What does he do? He will come back. And when he comes back, what does he do? He will go and bring 7 more wicked spirits than himself. The Lord Jesus asked a demon-possessed man, what is your name? He said, Legion. Why is your name Legion? He said, we are many. That is, I am the one that took charge. I have brought many people inside. Do you understand that point? If one evil spirit comes in, it brings 7 more wicked spirits. That is, if a man walks in hatred, that's what I'm saying, there is a spirit called the spirit of murder. There is a spirit called the spirit of suicide bombing. They all come in and the door was opened by that spirit of what? Hatred, anger. Please, I hope you have heard my point there. That is what opens this man, this young man up to the kind, because it's not easy to just go and kill yourself. I mean, you just wake up, you're not drunk. I mean, you didn't smoke something. Even if you smoke something, you had to prepare ahead so as to smoke something to help you do it. And you know, death is not like after you have died, you change your mind and say, I know they die again, I'll just come back. It is not like that. When you have died, you are permanently dead. It is given unto man once to die, not the second time. You die once, that's it, you're dead. And men know this. Yet, they will deliberate. Imagine a young man wear a bomb, board a flight. And when the flight is in the air, above the United States, I'm talking the story of Farouk Abdulmutallab now. That's when he wants to detonate. You know, the first person that dies in it is himself. Listen, it is not ordinary eye like we say. It is called a spirit. The only way that spirit enters into a young man is that, first of all, the simple, easy, normal, you know what I mean by normal in quote now, spirit of hatred and anger is inside him. It now opens him wide to the dangerous spirit of suicide and murder. That's just to explain how spiritual principles work. This is how the spirit of deception comes into us. When the simple basic truths that God is teaching us, we don't adhere to them. Are you getting my point? When the simple basic things of Christianity, we neglect them. What we are doing is that we are now opening ourselves up to heavier spirits. Men who have been deceived, they have been deceived on a daily basis, and with each deception, they get more entrenched in deception. What therefore is the solution? How do I say it? It is simple. It said, catch the foxes for us. the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is not in great things that will open the doors to the spirits of deception. It's in little things. And let me summarize in those three things that John said. He said there are three things that are inside the world. He said number one is what? The lust of the eyes. Number two is what? The lust of the flesh. And number three is what? The pride of life. Listen, if you can take care of those three things, you can never be deceived. If there's an attempt to deceive you and you even fall for it, it will only be temporary. Please, I hope you have learned what I'm going to explain. Listen, let's take that issue of covetousness again. It is a matter of fact that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That is, what was he saying? What is my primary aim in life? What's my primary goal in life? Let's take work as an example. My primary goal in life is to use my gifts to be a blessing to people. It's not to amass wealth. That's my primary goal in life. I remember once my mother and I were speaking at home. I just went to visit. And she was saying that, how's that your practice? That your private practice? I used to do some form of private practice then. I said, that one, I've shut it down. She said, why? That's what she said. I said, I'm too busy. That I work in the university and hospital. It's a single job, actually, combined. And that one is normal work. And secondly, I run a ministry, and the ministry takes most of my time. So I really don't have time to do any other thing. Then she now made a statement. She said, but this one, this ministry one doesn't pay you money now. That is, of course, you know, I'm a self-employed pastor, you know what I'm saying? That is, I'm not pastoring for anybody. I just teach and then we go home. And I said, but that one doesn't pay you money now. And I said to her simply, I said, because it doesn't pay money, I said, this was the reason why God allowed you to conceive. Well, I'm talking to my mother. I said, this was the reason why God allowed you to conceive me and give birth to me and I survived till adulthood. This is why he gave me life. I said, shall we abandon the reason why we are existing because it doesn't pay money? And she said to me simply, that is true, Sha. That is true. I said, in my mind, it better be true. Better understand it so that you understand how I'm living my life. The point I'm going to make here is this. A man's life indeed does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. What is it consisting of, therefore? It is consisting in the amount, in how adherent he or she is to the plan of God for his or her life. That's what it is. Now, that's basic doctrine. That is basic doctrine. That kind of thing, it prevents us from being open to unnecessary deception. That's what I mean. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, that in Nigeria, this day we have a lot of bishops. You know, bishop. In fact, Lion Khan, I was saying today that those days, if you had the title bishop, you know, you respect the title. But these days now, okay, we're walking past in front of the guest house where we are. And we saw one poster, and it was one bishop this. And I said, there are many bishops around though, plenty bishops. So we're just talking about it. Now, what do I have against the title bishop? Nothing really, no, it doesn't concern me. Look, as long, there are names you must avoid. Once you avoid some critical names, the other ones, we can overlook it. Once you don't call yourself El Shaddai, Almighty, you understand, the most high. Once you avoid some killer names like that, you know, there are names you use, you're going to die within a week. You know what I'm saying? So, once you avoid those names, I really don't have a problem. It doesn't concern me. Some people say that, my own title is just overseer. Listen, the word overseer is in Latin, is bishop. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a big deal. The point I'm just trying to make is that, I said, how come there are so many bishops? You know the truth? Most people, it's called the pride of life. How can that boy be a bishop when I'm just a small pastor? You get my point? Now, because he's competing with somebody else, he suddenly starts seeing scriptures to support all the evil he will soon start doing. The primary problem is that he's in competition with somebody else. That is, listen, this is how these things work. You won't realize it. The basic fundamental problem is that this man is in competition with somebody else. One of the things, in fact, I like to say this all the time. One day my mother, again, I went home to go and visit. And my mother said, Collie, that's what she calls me. He said, your mates are building houses, so. Have you ever heard that kind of thing before? Yes. Say, your mates are building their own homes now. And this is Nigeria. If it's America, it's a different matter. You pay down payment, they give you a house, you pay small, small. In Nigeria, you must have money. I remember the way I answered. Because one of the things I teach people in life are you don't have mates. What did I say? No, you don't have mates. You don't have mates. He said, look to Abraham. I called him alone. No mates. He was what? Alone. That's how God called Abraham. Do you understand? Let's talk about mates again. At the age of 30, what happened to Joseph? He entered into Pharaoh's service. At the age of Moses, what happened to Moses? He was ejected from Pharaoh's service. And he went into the wilderness. Let me ask you a simple question. Who was the greatest of them, according to biblical records? Moses. Yet, from 30 to 80, he was wandering in the wilderness. And there was one man that was called the friend of God. Okay, and Abraham. It was one man that God said, I speak to him mouth to mouth. I don't speak in visions and dreams. We show up and we talk to each other. So I said simply, look, I said to everybody, I don't have mates. But that day I said to my mother, when he said, your mates are building houses. I said to her simply, how many of them are teaching the word of God on radio? I don't know what I get my point. I said, each person has an assignment. To the person that God has called to be building houses, go ahead. I said, my primary assignment is to teach the word of God on radio. And believe me, I rejoice if the man who is building houses is succeeding. And I expect him to rejoice when I succeed in the radio broadcast that I am doing. No fight. If he builds two, I will live in one. Yes, I mean, that's how it is. The house I'm living in, it belongs to a man who has plenty. And I love him for it. No, really, I love him for it. I give an offering every year. It's called rent. It's a scriptural principle. You will live in houses you did not build. Is that not so? I'm living in a house I did not build. Somebody has built it. No, listen. The word of God has levels of fulfillment. That's one level of fulfillment. The point I'm making is this. In that area, I rejected the pride of life. That's what I'm saying. I am not competing with anybody. One of the things that open us up for deception is unnecessary competition. A friend of mine said to me once, when I started this ministry, well, actually, I started some years before he came to town. And he said that, how am I doing? I told him the whole thing. He said, Banky, he's a friend from university days. He said, start a church. I said, oh boy, for what now? He said, if you don't, they will not respect you. I said, I'm not starting this thing for respect. I'm looking for where, how I'm going to teach the word of God. If you don't want to respect me, you know, it's kind of your personal problem, not mine. He said, look, it's when you have a church, they will respect you. I said, well, that's where we got it wrong. It's what the Bible calls the pride of life. I did not start this thing for respect. So in that area, you have lost me. Now listen, why I'm saying all of these things, please, is that those are the things that open up people for deception. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I want to be deceived. I want to be deceived. Deceive me now. Deceive me now. No. Nobody wakes up and starts that. What they simply do is that in the little foxes that spoil the vine, you know, that area, the little things, and very important, this one of holding on to hatred, anger. Those little things, they open doors for greater things. You know, Christians, when we talk about seed, we always look at seed and say, if I give 1,000 naira today, praise God. 100-fold return, amen. I get 100,000 naira. That's a seed. That's the one we know. Is it a lie? It's not a lie. Of course, it's true. You may not calculate exactly like that, but any seed you sow, it germinates plenty, amen? Now, this is a bad side of it. It also works for bad things also. Therefore, if you steal 1,000 naira, you will soon lose 100,000. I don't know what you hear. You know what I'm saying? If you steal somebody 1,000 naira, the same way if you give an offering of 1,000 naira, you expect a 100,000 naira return. In the same manner, if you defraud somebody in the market of 50 naira, you won't lose 50 naira. It's a seed. It's a seed. When he's going to collect his thing back, it will collect heavy. What am I trying to explain? That is why he said, guard your heart with what? All diligence. My time is almost gone. I must say this one before I close. I said at the beginning, nobody can decide that, look, I want to be deceived or I don't want to be deceived. There's one thing that prayer does. Prayer is one of the, in fact, I don't even know. Yes, one of the most important weapons that a Christian has. One of the most important weapons. That is, we have spoken about the danger of deception. Don't forget what I said. And let me just reiterate this, and then I talk about prayer, and I'm out of here. And this is the fact that what your life will be tomorrow is not your effort physically today. It is your effort in what is going into your heart. Are you getting my point? And just by the way, I tell young men and young women, especially young women, you know, if you're a single woman and you're applying to get married and it's a good thing, amen? If you believe it's a good thing, say amen now. He said, how do I know a good man? How do I know a man that's not good? Now, that he goes to church is not proof of anything. Judas used to go to church. Yes, now. Was Judas not a financial treasurer, you know? He was. He was financial secretary of Jesus World Ministries. He was. How do you know a good man? How do you know a bad man? And the same applies to women, but I just feel like talking to women about this. How do you identify a good man and a bad man? Of course, we have said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So you cannot know a man that will be rich tomorrow or poor tomorrow by what he's having today. You can't know. The Bible makes it clear that riches can grow wings and disappear. Yes. So how do I judge between a man that is good and a man that is bad? It's simple. Make sure you take time out to listen to what Oboy is saying. Let him say the things that are inside his heart. Listen, those are the things deciding what his future will be. Look, it is not where he works now. Anybody can get fired anytime. Even presidents die in office. We have seen two in recent times around here. One in Nigeria, one in Ghana. See, the Nigerian one was sick, Abby. The Ghanaian one just woke up one day healthy, then by evening he was gone. Okay, sorry. I even forgot the Abacha one. So, anybody can get fired from work. These days, the banks are laying people off rapidly. So, where you are working now does not mean anything. Or where he's working now does not mean anything. You want to know whether this man will succeed in life or he will fail, just let him talk. Once he starts saying things like, no, look, this world, eh? In fact, a man just has to try the one he can do because, you know, they want heaven help those who help themselves. Talking that nonsense talk, just leave him alone. This guy, his mindly earthly things, just leave him alone. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. If you start saying that my friend is doing very well now. We know now, it's because his father is rich. Just leave him alone, he does not believe in God. I don't care that he's tithing, he does not believe in God. Because how you know what somebody really believes is what he says about other people, not just about himself. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. Everybody can say that, in Jesus' name, I can make it. But he looks at somebody and says, that guy can never make it. Why? He does not know anybody. That's what he really believes. The one he's saying about himself is the one they say in their church. I pray you understand what I'm going to say. Anyway, the point I'm making, my time is gone, please. The point I'm making is this, that you hear him talk. You hear him talk. You hear the kind of things he says. Those are the things that are deciding where he will be tomorrow. It is not the thing he has now or the thing he doesn't have. And that's the same thing about all our lives. So Jesus said, be careful how you listen. Solomon said, guard your heart with what? All diligence. Let me just sit there. I just feel like saying it before I close. And do you know what you are pouring into your own heart today as a father, as a mother? It's not just about your heart, it's about your life. It's also about the lives of your children. I tell my wife all the time, There are a number of reasons to do righteousness. One major reason that I've added to it over the years is for my children's sake. You know, say, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty upon the earth. That is, this righteousness of the Father makes might in the seed. Mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty upon the earth. So, David so served God that people will sin, and God wants to, you know, he's angry. He said, were it not for your father, David, my servant, that I would have destroyed everything. But when I remember David, my servant, I have to slow down on my anger. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? When you imbibe truth, it's forming a future, not just for your life, but for the lives of your descendants. Therefore, now remember what I said, the power of grace. Remember, it is not about your struggles. Let me end with this story, please. All right? I'm watching my time. If I have a few minutes, all right? I was reading a Ben Carson story. How many of us ever heard of Ben Carson? Ben Carson, the most famous neurosurgeon in the world today. An American black man raised by a single mother in the slums of America. And at the age of 33, he became what Americans call the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in number one hospital in the world, Johns Hopkins. At the age of 33. He said when patients would be waiting for him and he would enter the place, you know the question they always ask, is Dr. Carson coming? It's hard for them to know that's Dr. Carson. You see one slim, tall, handsome, young black man. He can't be the Dr. Ben Carson that they told us. In fact, I was reading one of his books. One South African doctor said it was, I think the year before they met, that he finally found out he was a black man. You can go and read his book, Gifted Hands, and Think Big, and books like that. But the point I want to make is this. How did he become like that? Listen to this. So, with all the poverty that he grew in, one day they were coming from church, and one man had come and had spoken about missionaries, doctor, medical missionaries and all of that. And he said that as a young boy, he told himself that, that's one thing I would really like to do. I really like to spread the gospel of Jesus with being a doctor. He was a small boy. I think it was about 6 or 7 or something, or 8. A young boy, he was still very young. He didn't understand their poverty. You know, he's a small boy. He was going home and told the mother that, I think I'm going to be a doctor. Do you think I can be a doctor? The mother stopped, put two hands on his shoulders, and said to him, listen to my son. Anything you want to be in life, just ask God for it and you can be that thing. And he said to the mother, in that case, I'm going to be a doctor. That it was that simple. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was that simple. If I was telling the story that, because I said these things, it's not just about your life. It's also the lives of your children. He said one day he and his brother were doing so bad in school. The mother carried them, sat them down, talked to them, and said, okay, both of you go and sleep. Let me go and pray. Let me see what God will tell me is the solution to this problem that we are in. He said he couldn't sleep that night. He was listening, hoping he would hear what God would tell his mother. He said, and truly, next morning when his mother said what God told her, he knew there was trouble. The mother said, from now on, you can only watch 3 TV programs in a whole week. He said, that is not fair. He said, on top of that, you will read 2 books every week and give me the summary. She said, this is what the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to do to you 2 boys. Let's make a long story short. That was how he began to love reading until he became what he is today. Now, listen to this. It was the word. In fact, because God gave me some spiritual understanding over the years I've been studying, the first day I read his story, I said, Ben Carson himself is not the issue here. It is the word in the heart of his mother that became flesh in him that we can see. I hope you've gotten my point. That's the summary of it. The word of God is forming something in your life. If you give it attention, you won't have to struggle. Don't ever look at your children with pity. These are my children. You know I don't have money. No, no. If you keep on saying that, you are giving excuses to Satan. You will cripple their lives. They won't be able to achieve anything. Wake up every morning and tell them, look, whether we have or not, whatever you are going to be in life, you will become that thing. Because the grace of God is working on your behalf. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you for your word. Say, Lord, we thank you for your word. Say, Lord, we thank you for your word. You know, remember, okay, I said I was going to say something about prayer, but I didn't have time to get it. But remember, you can't just make up your mind, I don't want to be deceived, and work hard at it. But you can say to God, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you everything. Fill it with your pure word and, Lord, with your truth. Fill it, Lord, with your pure word and with your truth. Lord, guard me from deception. Lord, I renounce the lust of the eyes. I renounce the lust of the flesh. And my Father, I renounce the pride of life. Because, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. Lord, you will keep me from false teachers. Lord, you will keep me from those who want to lead me into deception. Lord, I would desire to guard my heart. Help me. Give me the grace to guard my heart with all diligence. Because I understand that from it flows the issues of life. Say, Lord, again, I commit my heart to you. It's yours alone. It's not for the pride of life. It is not for the lust of the flesh. And it's not for the lust of the eyes. I seek to do the will of him that sent me. So that, Lord, I may finish his work. Let us thank him. Father, we give you all the glory. No one, Lord, who has heard these words today, Lord, will be deceived in the name of Jesus Christ. But your sound doctrine, your true word will enter their hearts and create their environment and make a bright future for their children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.